All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February the 27th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It is a Monday. We won't hold that against it, right? Actually, Mondays are my favorite days. I love Mondays. I love them. But yeah, big week planned. You know, just came out of a couple few weird weeks between one being sick a lot longer than I was expecting to be sick. Actually, I remember the friend, a client was like, "Oh, you're going to be sick for five weeks." I'm like, "I am not. I am healthy." You know, this is probably my fifth week and I'm not sick. It's just that residual shit, you know, chest stuff, cough and blah, 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 blah. And it usually is. I'm usually affected when I'm in my most lazy position, right? When I'm sitting on the couch, leaned back, watching TV, which is probably an unhealthy position anyway. And then coughing starts and, you know, because it's just how I'm sitting. I need to be up and moving, but no. I'm being lazy, and I'm still feeling the residuals from that cold. Definitely feel a lot better off the nose spray. Nose spray is always a challenge because I immediately turn to it whenever I catch cold, and then I got to spend a week getting off the nose spray. But I'm off. I can pick up my nose spray coin. I'm back to being nose spray sober. But, you know, mentally, still working it out, right? Still kind of coming out of the fog, but I definitely feel better. And then we've had some changes happen lately with, like, in the salon. It's a few things, multifaceted situation. One being, and I don't know if you have a small business or work for a small business, but around President's Holiday, the President's Weekend, it is slow. I definitely. Business for me struggles around these. It's usually 2 weeks. It's the week before and the week after because a lot of people go on vacation, right? A lot of people are doing stuff and I feel the effects of it. But for some reason in that 2 weeks, I feel like business is failing or ending, right? It's like, oh my God, what's going on? Even though, to be honest with you, I've been relatively busy between just a few people, you know, going on vacation, a couple people maybe canceling because they're not feeling well, and maybe one person canceling just because they're, you know, whatever. My mind goes into, you know, the worst place. Like, oh, business is ending. The 12-year run of owning your own business is over. And I get all freaked out. And it's just, even though I know that this happens every year. And so I'm just coming out of this couple weeks of that. This is the first Monday out of that. And I'm booked, you know, I don't work today, but I'm booked all week. Just like usual. But the other thing is that one of the girls decided she's going to move on, which I always think is fine. It's great. I mean, it definitely stirs up some uncomfortability in my life because, you know, I get settled into sort of a routine, and then when someone's going to, you know, up and go do something else, which honestly is always the plan. I've always said, this isn't where you want to, you know, finish your career. You know, we do chair rental at the salon, and when someone comes in, we want them to, you know, rent a chair and run your little business, and then, you know, take all the stuff that you learn and go open your own salon one day. That's always the hope. But when someone does tell me, oh, by the way, I will be leaving at the end of the month, you're like, what? That is not the plan.
But
Yeah. Far Side. I dig that. I dig that old school rap. But yeah, so, you know, when something like that, the plan changes and, you know, you can get, I can get a little freaked out, a little worried, a little concerned. And, you know, it's sort of like, I talked about the fourth and fifth step. I actually try to do sort of like a fourth step on just about everything, it seems like, in my life. Because I will sometimes get the wrong message. And this is sort of one of those situations, you know, when someone says, hey, you know, I'm leaving and, you know, this will be my last month. Right away, I'm like, well, screw them, right? You know, I get upset. I don't get upset, but there is something that gets a little flustered, right? Because it what it means is I'm going to have to address a few things. But see, this is, you know, this is what kind of doing a four step on something like this is good for, because I need to understand what my real beef is. And when someone says, hey, I'm moving on, and I do have a little bit of a beef inside, outside I'm like, hey, great, right? I understand. That's perfect. But inside I'm like, damn it. You know, now I'm going to have to look at some things. And one of the things that I have to look at is that, you know, sometimes when a person comes in, you know, it's 80%, right? They're 80% good. And there's always like a 20%. You're like, damn, if they could just do that 20% better, it would. And they could be 100% great. It's always, I'm going to find some 20% that I'm going to bitch about. But what this usually means is that I'm going to have to address something, right? Like they're, whether it's going to be cleaning, getting this whole situation fixed back up. Maybe it's how I have my overall feeling of the salon. And I will say, since like the pandemic, the salon has not received the attention that it used to, right? I mean, it looks good. If you come in to get a hair appointment, the salon looks good. The salon's fine. But there's just like clutter stuffed away, right? There's this person was using one of the rooms, one of my old offices, which was fine, but man, it had gotten very cluttery in there. And so, you know, I hate to see a person leave, but part of me was like, all right, yeah, you know, it's time to go. I need to get in. I feel like I'm starting to wake back up a little bit. And, you know, so the whole point of that story is that yesterday I spent, you know, a few hours in the salon cleaning on Saturday, and then Sunday morning, I got up early and went back over to the salon and just really started getting into it. And, you know, there's like this little mini fridge that was sort of tucked in the corner next to a water cooler. They'd been there for years, right? They were fine. Did I like them there? Not really. But did I have any alternatives? Not really. When this person left, I pulled everything out of this office, and it's now sort of this new overflow room. But and I'm starting to learn some of this from us moving, right? Because we were in one house, and then when we moved to the other house, our goal was to not bring all the clutter. And so, you know, having to let stuff go, right? Having to really think through the object, right? Oh, I love this. It's so great. But is it great in my life right now? And most of the times, it's not. And so I got to move some of that stuff. I put the fridge in this new office, and I put the water cooler in the office, and I just really pulled things out, right? I pulled that refrigerator out, and I pulled that water cooler out, and it was like, you know, color caps, just a bunch of dumb shit that you can't see, right? The salon seems clean, but when you start pulling furniture and appliances, you start finding some dirt. So it felt good, man. I pulled a ton of shit out, got the salon really cleaned up yesterday, really mopped it. You know, when someone leaves, it means that I need to get the place ready for the next person. And, you know, as much as that doesn't weigh on me, it is an anchor that I carry around. You know, that Drop the Rock book, you know, I'm carrying rocks. I'm carrying chains with rocks around them. And one of the rocks was the fact that I know that at some point I need to pull some appliances out and get in here and clean up the salon a little better. Some spring cleaning. And I did it yesterday, and just it was a real relief, because honestly, a couple days before, especially when I heard that this person was leaving, I was like, do I even want to keep owning a salon, right? Do I even want to keep doing this? Is this something I want to do? And what it was that I was so inconvenienced by having to address some of the things. Like, when the person was here, I'd given her this room. The room turned into a disaster. You know, and that's no fault of hers or mine. It's just both of our messiness kind of came together. I had been using the room to store some stuff. She was using the room. I thought initially it was supposed to be just to have a shelf in there. It ended up being a desk and then sort of a table and just more stuff. We'd both sort of lost our way. So her leaving, she pulled all that stuff out of there to take to her new adventure. And then I could see what was really in there. And what was really in there was a lot of shit I did not need. And so pulled all that crap out, threw a bunch of stuff away, trash cans of junk out of there. And felt a lot better. Fixed that little room up, fixed the break room up, fixed the color station. Got an area for if someone does end up renting the chair. We do have two chairs for rent. If someone does end up renting one, I got shelf space cleared out for them. I did everything I needed to do yesterday. So, but what I've noticed today is, God dang, I feel a lot better. You know, I was talking to my dad. He was over and I was like, yeah, I feel like selling the damn salon. He's like, I don't know, man. That salon's been pretty good. You know. Is there something else you can do, like address something that might make you feel better? And I said, you know, I'll get through it. I did go to the meeting on Friday, and the topic was one day at a time. And I've always loved that. I think that phrase in general is probably, I think saving my life might be a little extreme, but it definitely has saved me mentally and spiritually because, you know, back in the drinking days, you know, I couldn't tell you, I couldn't talk about today, right? I could tell you all the great things that I was going to do, and I could all tell you about all the great things that I had done, but I couldn't talk about the present, right? They say if you got one day in the past and one day in the future, you're pissing all over the present, and that's what I used to do because I was doing nothing, right? I could project a wonderful conclusion, or I could reflect a wonderful start, but everything in the middle was not there because I wasn't doing anything great. And so one of the first things that I noticed when I came into the program was these great signs, and one of them being one day at a time. And I thought, wow. Because people say, how do you stay sober? And the answer is always the same thing, one day at a time, right? A daily reprieve. And that has come, that I use that in my life every day and with my kids, and I tell that to my kids, right? I just said it to my son David yesterday. One day at a time, buddy. You know, let's just stay in the day. Kids like to get a little ahead of themselves, which I think is probably perfectly natural. But I do say, you know, let's just stay in the day. Let's see what happens. It was funny. He's doing some, you know, my son's always been, he's always worked at a coffee shop, right? You know, selling breakfast sandwiches and stuff to people down at the beach. And that's kind of been his thing. But last night he was helping a lady, I guess, install a door and do some power washing to a rental house. And he's like, yeah, we're working. You know, it's tough out here, man. I was like, I hear you, bro. But he was out there, you know, doing work and getting his, not hustle on, but hustling. And he was making some money. And he's like, you know, if I keep doing this, I'm going to keep doing this and next week. And then when I say, hey, stay in the moment. Just stay in today and let's see what happens. But, you know, don't get too far out there because that's what I used to do. I used to get really far out there and I can get far out there today. You know, I can definitely go on a mental journey. And, you know, somebody wrote, I was looking at Facebook yesterday and somebody was asking if anybody had any solutions for sleep problems. And, you know, I suffer from sleep problems. I do not sleep. I have a lot of trouble falling asleep. I have trouble staying asleep. I have experimented with many things. And one of them I took was Ambien. A doctor had prescribed Ambien to me for a sleep problem. He said that it was giving me a weird heartbeat. No, he said my lack of sleep was giving me a weird heartbeat. So that was why he suggested I take the Ambien. And, you know, the good drug addict that I am, I'm like, yeah, you know, it'll be. He's like, you take a half of one of these and you'll sleep like a baby. And I was like, oh, sweet. And, you know, I've shared that was the beginning of a journey that was, I mean, I never in my life felt like putting a gun to my head as I did on my run on Ambien. And I remember having to just stop and say, you know, what are you doing? This is not, you are not sleeping. I mean, it was a half, and then it was a whole, then it was a whole and a half, and then I'm taking two and two and a half. I mean, this, it was a nightmare. And so I wrote, you know, on this person, I responded on this person's Facebook page that I said, you know, for me, I really just had to sort of lower my expectations of sleep. I had to lower my expectations of sleep. I remember thinking, if I'm laying here, I'm resting. Right? And the other thing is I had to do is I had to really start trying to focus on, you know, clearing the debris of the day. Back then, though, it was probably the debris of the week or the debris of the month, because I literally did not live one day at a time. I was, you know, and I was sober back then. I was definitely sober back then, but you know, it's still, you can get caught up in, or I got caught up in just, you know, worry and stress and shit that isn't really important to me at the moment. And so what I said in my post yesterday or to her was that, you know, one, I had to lower my expectations of sleep. And two, I had to really figure out why I couldn't sleep. You know, what is it that's keeping me up? And, you know, through meditation and prayer, you know, and prayer is a big one. For me at least. And it's just recognizing, and I've shared this prayer before. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. My shoulders aren't big enough for the day. The shoulders are definitely not big enough for a week of stress. And if I'm not doing that one day at a time, that's what I end up doing, 1 week at a time. And it's just, you know, but the screw up part is that I live in a week by week, you know, I'm a schedule kind of guy. I'm an appointment business kind of guy. So my day is always laid out for me in the week. I mean, I could tell you exactly what I'm doing at 1:15 on Friday of this week because I have a scheduled appointment, but you know, I have to also remember I still have to stay in the day. That's still, because one of the things is, you know, that I've learned, especially in this last couple of weeks, because it has been President's Day weekend and it has been slow and it has tested me and made me want to shut down the hair salon. But I can look at my schedule for next week and be like, yeah, it looks good. And then the week starts and then people, you know, whether start canceling or moving or sick. And you're like, I've been bathing in this wonderful week, a week ahead of myself. And now it's turning out to be not the week that I thought. And now I'm really disappointed, right? So I've learned over time that, hey, just because a week looks good on paper doesn't mean that it's going to be a good week. Right. And this all falls into a lot of other stuff, you know, financial insecurity and, you know, trying to, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is we budgeted for Christmas. We planned out for it. We did spend more money on Christmas this year than I was hoping to, but we'll get through it. But, you know, we planned on it. We spent what we spent. And, you know, we've been making adjustments in our life so that, you know, we're not financially strapped as bad as we could be. And so when this all happens, we have tried to do other things in our life so that if a slow week comes up or if a week that looked like it was going to be a great week and all of a sudden you have three cancellations and then you're like, shit, you know, we're not already too stressed, but to stay in the day one day at a time, it's chewable, right? I can cut that up and I can eat that. It's doable. And so when the topic came up at the meeting, I loved it. I think it's super important because I do think when someone comes in, I even know when I came in, I thought, how am I ever going to do this? How am I ever going to stay sober forever? Right? I think that's one of the, you know, a common statement made by someone new. I'm doing this forever. I'm never drinking again, right? And I felt that way, and I've said that, and I do, and I believed it, and I drank again, right? So I've done it all, and I've been through it all, and, you know, luckily I can look back and say, hey, this is important one day at a time, you know, because, you know, not only do I not want to drink today, but I also don't want to go insane. I don't want to fucking worry about too much shit today. I try to stay in the day. And what is today? Today is Monday. I know one thing. I don't work on Mondays, right? I do podcasts on Mondays. So my day is basically, my son Sam comes back today. I knew I was going to podcast this morning. Going to go to the grocery store at some point today. Sam will be back. We'll probably have my dad over for dinner tonight. Sam likes pasta. We're probably going to have tortellinis tonight. My dad likes pasta too. I have a meeting tonight. And then I will go to bed. And that's the day. And then we'll start all over tomorrow, right? Tomorrow is a whole full day booked at the salon. Completely different, but I know exactly what I got to do, and I will stay in that day. And then the following day will be Wednesday, where I'm off. But that is how I do it. And it's just, it's a lot easier. Now, does that mean that I am completely unaware of the rest of the week? No, because you can't be, right? I have to be aware. I have to know what the fuck's going on, right? I have to know, you know, because the other thing is I always have people trying to schedule appointments, and then I'm trying to figure out where to put them in, so that takes me out of the day. But yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Let me, so I guess the whole point with that is, you know, if you're new to the program, just one day at a time, right? Just stay in the moment. It's a fucking gift that this program has given out. It's like a welcome here gift. Try this. It's just stay in the moment. And, you know, whether it's for alcohol, drugs, sanity, whatever it is, to me, it is one of the greatest gifts of this program is to stay one day at a time. All right, let's see. And think about it. You know, were you that person? Were you always about what we were going to do or what we used to do but couldn't talk about the present? You know, there was a time, you know, where suicide, killing myself would come up a lot in my life. I was so down and out and so hopeless that, you know, I would consider killing myself. The problem is that I didn't want to miss all the wonderful things said about me. So, of course, I never killed myself. That's how fucking self-centered I was. All right, let me see if I can read the daily reflections, and then we will move on to the next thing in life. Let's see. A unique stability, February the 27th. Where does AA get its direction? Question mark. These practical folks then read Tradition 2 and learned that the sole authority in AA is a loving God as he may express himself in the group conscience. The elder statesman is the one who sees the wisdom of the group's decision, who holds no resentment over his reduced status, whose judgment, fortified by considerable experience, is sound and who is willing to sit quietly on the sidelines, patiently awaiting developments. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 132, 135. Into the fabric of recovery from alcoholism are woven the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. As my recovery progressed, I realized that the new mantle was tailor-made for me. The elders of the group gently offered suggestions when change seemed impossible. Everyone's shared experience became the substance for treasured friendships. I know that the fellowship is ready and equipped to aid each suffering alcoholic at all crossroads in life. In a world beset by many problems, I find this assurance of unique stability. This assurance, a unique stability. I cherish the gift of sobriety. I offer my God my gratitude for the strength I receive in a fellowship that truly exists for the good of all members. Yeah. That was a lot. Yeah, you have to check that one out. I'm not going to give an opinion on that. It is a, but I do, you know, I know when I came into this program, it offered me something, I mean, in many things in so many ways that I had never experienced, never had planned or hoped that they would come to me due to coming to this program. You know, I had skirted around AA and NA many years, right? It was always something I was having to do. It was always something I was sent to do. It was always something that was a byproduct of getting caught at doing something. So me and these programs never had a great relationship. When I came into the program, I think I've even shared this, you know, I was struggling, drinking, drugging. And my dad said, you know, there's this guy. you go see this guy. And I must have gotten, you know, I had gotten caught doing something, right? I had, you know, admitted or agreed to do something that put me in the corner of having to look at maybe getting sober again. And I remember going to a meeting and I was high. And I was supposed to go find this guy, and this guy was going to help me, and I didn't want to get sober. And, yeah, you know, didn't work, of course. And for some reason, you know, that punch of the millennium that knocked the shit out of me somehow knocked out that ego for just long enough to get a little taste. And, yeah, what a game changer. And just the amount of people that I met, and the friendships and the relationships and the ups and the downs and all of the stuff that came from just this program was, you know, it was such a gift. And, but I know one thing, man, it is a journey that I've had to be on. And if you're new to getting sober, just enjoy the journey, right? Just settle in, you know, just settle in, hang in there, make friends, give it some time, but definitely one day at a time. It does get better. I know it's hard. It's like breaking up with a girlfriend, man. It's you know, alcohol and drugs played such a big role in my life that there really wasn't anything that was going to replace it. This is the best I could do. With a little bit of hope, a little bit of gratitude, and some new friendships, I started to feel a little less empty. As weird as it is, how drugs and alcohol can fill you up, and when they're gone, you do feel empty and lost. Program started to fill me up a little bit. The new friendship started to fill me up. The hope, you know, throw a little pink cloud on there, and, you know, it starts to feel better. But, you know, as much as one day at a time helps for those sad days, you know, you also got to remember that one day at a time helps for those great days. You know, sometimes life is so freaking good when you're new to sobriety. You just don't, you're like, I don't need anything. This is just amazing. One day at a time, because the next day could be like, okay, today's not as amazing. Or maybe it's even better. But just, you know, bookend it, luckily, with the idea of trying to stay in the moment and keep it a one day at a time. Listen, I hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you letting me share. Go to a meeting tonight. Step six. What's step six? Let's look it up. Step six. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Yep. This is when my buddy Matt used to say we stopped stealing the Wawa sugar packets. Later. Dream of fairy tales, I think of me and Shelly. See, she's my type of hype, and I can't stand when brothers tell me that I should quit chasing and look for something better. But the smile that she shows makes me a go-getter. I haven't gone as far as asking if I could get with her. I just play love by ear and hope she gets the picture. I'm shooting for her heart, got my finger on the trigger. She can be my broad, and I can be high, and I can be high. All I can do is stay up. Back as kids, we used to kiss when we played truth or dare. Now she's more sophisticated, highly educated. At all overrated. I think I need a prayer to get in a book, and it looks rather dry. I guess a twinkle in her eye is just a twinkle in her eye. Although she's crazy stepping, I'll try and stop the stride, cause I won't have no more of this passing me by. Time for me to voice my opinion, can't be pretending she didn't have me. Sprung like a chicken, chasing my tail like a doggy. She was kind of like a star, thinking I was like a fan. Damn, she looked good. Downside, she had a man, he was a Rudy too. A nick and poop. She told me soon your little birdie's gonna fly the. She was a flake like corn, and I was born not to understand. But letting the past, I proved to be a better man.